Resonance Radio 104. Fantastic. Thank you.
And coming up next on Resonance 104.4 FM, it's The Headroom, hosted by Rob Simone. And Rob's guest today is David Icke.
Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster on The Headroom with Rob Simone on 104.4 Resonance FM.
Hello once again, and welcome to another edition of The Headroom here on Resonance FM 104.4 on your FM dial here in London and worldwide on the internet at resonancefm.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to us here this fine Saturday. And we have a very special show lined up for you today. An in-depth two-hour interview with David Icke. That is right. David Icke, international lecturer, author. He is going to lay out the real truth. The real history. He's going to bring history to align with the facts. If you're familiar with David Icke's work, then what we have in store for you is perhaps a continuation of all the things he has written about in his books. If you are not familiar with David Icke, then I would say that he is perhaps one of the most outspoken, courageous, and alternative, perhaps even a little controversial speakers and authors that you will ever hear. But as he will be the first to tell you, he simply is following the information. And the conclusions he has led to are stunning. That more and more of the world's power is falling into the hands of fewer and fewer people. That our reality is being manipulated. And the esoteric knowledge that has been handed down throughout the ages is the very source of our liberation. Well, I know that is a lot to take in, but believe me, nobody else lays it out more clearly and succinctly than David Icke. If you have a computer, why don't you go to his website and follow along? His website is davidicke.com. Last name is spelled I-C-K-E. And there you will get a taste of some of the things that he talks about. Now, David Icke was on this program last year, and we went through the 9-1-1 scenario rather closely. It was rather in-depth. And if you look at the 9-1-1 picture and find out where Donald Rumsfeld was, when he was informed, and what he did after that, the whole timeline just starts to fall apart, as David so eloquently showed us. Now, his recent book is Alice in Wonderland and the Nine World Trade Center Catastrophes. this is sort of a touchstone. This is a starting point to realize how the world is run, how things are manipulated. And if you'll go back in history, you'll see the same things happening time and time again. If you have any questions or comments about this program, I would invite you to get in touch with us. It's easy enough to do. Just send us an email. Our email address is theheadroom@excite.com, and I have to thank everybody who has written in these past months. Over the course of a year or more now, we've been coming to you with this program, trying to bring you alternative information. And remember that Resonance FM has no big corporate sponsors, no government control. It is truly an independent voice. And that is something that you will be hard-pressed to find on the airwaves in any country. Now, I promised an in-depth interview, and I'm going to deliver. I want you to stay tuned, because this has it all. If you're interested in ufology, comparative religion, philosophy, esoteric knowledge, Egypt, Sumeria, World War II, and more, we're going to cover it in this interview. And I would also invite you to listen with an open mind. And if you have any doubt or any questions, it's easy enough for you to check all these things out. As he said before, David only follows the information. And I would dare say, if you did too, you would probably be talking about the same sorts of things. Because the things we end up talking about with David are the sorts of subjects that come up on this program regardless of the guest or regardless of the subject matter. Because it would seem that more and more the truth is coming to the surface, one way or another. I invite you to stay tuned with this very special interview and see for yourself if a little more perspective is gained from it. Stay tuned. We're in an interesting time and place in the world, and our next guest is someone who we spoke with last year and went through the 9/11 scenario, international lecturer, author of countless books. I believe the grand total is 1.5 million words to date. David Icke, welcome to the Headroom.
Oh, thank you very much.
We were just talking about your latest book, that you're working on now, Tales from the Time Loop. Is it safe to say that you have indeed written, up to this date, about 1.5 million words?
Well, I've actually written a lot more than that. The last five books come to that. The last one, Alice in Wonderland, the World Trade Center Disaster, brought me to a point where I started to look beyond the five sense level of the manipulation, because there's different levels of the way the world's controlled, and I've started to really look at the nature of reality and how we create it, because that gives us the power to replace a reality and experience we don't like with one that we do. In other words, take control back of destiny and control back of our minds, and that's what Tales of the Time Loop, or Tales from the Time Loop, is going to be about, the nature of the way that we are controlled ultimately by the manipulation of our sense of reality, the manipulation of what we think of ourselves and how we perceive the world. For instance, if you have 6 billion people who understand the true infinite nature of who they are, who understand they have the power to create their own destiny and create consciously their own reality, then you are going to have a nightmare trying to control those people, because they're just going to be expressing their uniqueness, and they will not concede that uniqueness to anyone. What you want is people to have a reality, and that's the one that so many people have around the world, that they are ordinary men and women in the street. They're just Joe Public. What can I do, mate? I've got no power. And if you take on that reality, you will create that experience. You will have a life that will be, quote, ordinary and powerless, not because that is what you are, but because that is what you've been manipulated to think you are. So although I talk at length in the books about the names, dates, places, secret societies, connections and all that stuff, and the agenda and methods of manipulation that are used, the foundation of it all, and the foundation of what's unfolding in front of our eyes now in the Middle East, is the manipulation of our minds and reality. It's a mind game. It has to be, because when there's a few trying to control the many, of course, the many cannot be controlled by the few physically. I mean, you can do it in small areas by using troops who you've also manipulated to believe that they're doing something for reasons they're actually not. But you can't do it to 6 billion people, so you have to do it through the minds. And, of course, all human behavior comes from decisions made by the mind, thought. So control the mind, you control behavior, and that's the level it's at. And to understand the conspiracy and how we can get out of it is to understand that it's a conspiracy designed for us to give our minds away, and the solutions are for us to take them back.
This is a key point, one which I wanted to touch upon. The ruling elite, let's call them the Illuminati for lack of a better word, although that might be spot on. That's what they call themselves, that's right. You say that they possess advanced knowledge of consciousness and the nature of reality, and they understand how humans create reality, and they're manipulating it.
Sure, I mean, knowledge is power, but how does knowledge equal power? It equals power when you have it and someone else doesn't. So if I know how people are creating their own reality through their thoughts and their sense of themselves and the world becoming their experience, and people I'm trying to manipulate don't understand how that works, then two things. First of all, they are putty in my hands, because I can manipulate them without them even realizing they're being manipulated. They think their thoughts are actually coming out of them when I'm actually planting that reality into them through various means, through the education system or what passes for it, through the mainstream media and what have you. And the other point in relation to this is I'm going to make sure those people ain't going to get, as much as I can, hold of that knowledge that I have. And this is why it's been passed on through initiations and what have you, through the upper levels, and I emphasize that, of the Global Secret Society Network, the Secret Society Web, in which when you get to the top of these apparently unconnected secret societies, they're actually all the same societies, like pyramids within pyramids. Mm. And so you pass the knowledge onto the people that you want to have it, and you do something else, and this is what's been happening through the centuries, and this is why we've had the slaughter of women, of psychics, of people who had the knowledge through things like the Inquisition, which was just using Christianity as a front to go and destroy people and those carrying the knowledge as much as possible. So what you do is you're trying to suck this knowledge out of circulation among the people while using that same knowledge to manipulate the people. And you use it by dubbing or giving the impression that esoteric knowledge is negative, is dangerous, or is crazy and ludicrous. And this has happened. I've got a great friend in South Africa. He's one of the last remaining what are called Senussi's shaman. He's the official historian of the Zulu nation, Credo Mutwa. And he was telling me how, in his words, when the European powers, which were controlled by the Illuminati on their process of global conquest, the British and the Dutch, etc., when they came in, particularly at the time of Cecil Rhodes, who was a major initiate of this Illuminati, in his words, they milked the minds of the shaman, find out what they know, and then killed them. And they have sought to marginalize and, like I say, dub dangerous or crazy the very knowledge that they're using against the people. And also, of course, knowledge is neutral. It's not good or bad. It's not negative or positive. It's just knowledge. It's how you use it that determines whether it's done for human benefit or for human control and manipulation. Mm. And we've also had the process of dubbing esoteric knowledge as it's the occult or it's the devil, when it's just the use of it that is positive or negative, not the knowledge itself. The knowledge that is imprisoning us, the knowledge of the nature of the power of consciousness is the knowledge, yes, that can be used to manipulate and suppress us, and it has and is being done like that, but it's also the same knowledge that will set us free, and I emphasize the will, because that's coming.
This is something that I think we should first take a step back. People throw around the word Illuminati, and maybe it has a bit of mysterious connotation to it, but I'd just like to point out that there is on record letters from George Washington to various other heads of state at the time where he talks about the Illuminati and even says that the threat and the influence of the Illuminati is something he's not comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, all the way through history, you can document this group, which is known as the Illuminati, is known as other names in different cultures also, which started in the ancient world and moved up from the Near and Middle East, other parts of the world too, but particularly relevant to events at the moment from the Near and Middle East, ancient Sumer, Babylon, Egypt, that kind of area, up into Europe, where the key bloodlines, because it's very much the upper levels are by bloodline only, where this network became the European aristocracy and the royal families. And then through the so-called Great British Empire and the other European empires, but particularly the British and the French, these bloodlines and this network of interconnecting secret societies were exported all around the world. And they were behind the colonial powers, like I say, in South Africa and other parts of Africa, in the Americas, Australia, and Asia. And when apparently these colonial powers withdrew back to Britain and France, giving, quote, independence to North America and the Spanish in Central and South America and all that stuff, and Australia and Africa, what actually happened was that there was a sleight of hand which exchanged the kind of dictatorship you can see in your face dictatorship, like fascism, communism is an example of that, but so, of course, was colonial rule. And that has a finite life, because the people under that kind of dictatorship realize that they are not free. They're being dictated to from a central point. And because in the end, the desire for freedom in the human heart rebels against tyranny when it can see it exists, it may take some time, but eventually that will happen. That has a finite life, that kind of dictatorship. The most powerful dictatorship of all is that which is the hidden hand. It gives the impression and constantly tells the people they are free, while fundamentally controlling events from behind the scenes, because people who think they're free do not rebel against not being so. And what happened when these so-called colonial powers withdrew from these areas of the world, including North America? They left behind the secret society network and the bloodlines through which they operate at the highest levels of the Illuminati. And they've gone on ruling those peoples ever since. And, you know, South Africa is a wonderful, more recent example of what I'm talking about, in the sense that during apartheid, you had an in-your-face dictatorship. Because you could see it and touch it, you had tremendous rebellion in South Africa, and you had, of course, tremendous protests around the world at that horrendous regime. However, the same people, after Mandela's time as leader, and now Thabo Mbeki, all these years later, the people controlling the South African economy are the same families that controlled it before. However, because it's now done covertly, in the sense that there's not an apartheid regime there anymore, but there appears to be a democracy, the protests around the world against the lack of freedom and the lack of choice for the people There have been changes on the surface, yes. But the main reason is that people every 4 or 5 years can put an X next to a name. Now that is not freedom if between those times, and indeed at the moment you're doing it, other powers that are not answerable to the people are controlling the lives and the destinies and the choices and the opportunities of the people on such a fundamental level. And this is what's happening all over the world for the same reason. In America, a handful of people are now actually taking all the decisions that are slaughtering thousands, increasingly tens of thousands of men, women and children in the Middle East and places like Afghanistan. In the same way, these networks have been created, and basically how it works is you could see it as a spider's web. The center of the web, where the spider is actually not America, ironically. It's in Europe for historical reasons. And the decisions are made at a central point in Europe, not by Tony Blair's government or Schroeder's government, but by the center of this Illuminati web. And they dictate down the web to the various countries. And in each country, be it the United States or South Africa or Australia, whatever, there is a network within those countries, almost like a subcontracted network, which is designed to control that country's military, politics and government, industry, transnational business, and the financial and banking system, and the media. And when the words come down, or the plans come down from the central point, this is the next stage, this is what we want next, those networks in the individual countries, their job is to manipulate that country's economy, government, military, etc., to bring about this agenda that's dictated from a central point. And that's what we're seeing all the time. And so a very few people run virtually every country, if not every country in the world.
David, I think you would agree with me when I say that most people are half asleep. Most people are involved. They buy into the reality that they perceive. And they're not interested in waking up. But for those people who are, for those people who are curious, who say, I have always felt somewhere in my gut that there is something wrong, what would you say to them?
Well, they need to get informed, because one of the things that happens is that people think, when they see the world in a certain way that's different from the conditioned norm, that often they're the only people that must feel like that, because they have the experience of people around them saying, oh, there's no conspiracy, all that stuff, right? And other people, I suppose, must be so far out that they think George Bush has two brain cells to rub together. You know, people will believe anything in the end. So they need to get informed. And through the internet and through a real explosion of books that are available now, they can read, not theory, but documented fact about what's going on. There's this apparent genetic problem that many people have in saying the word conspiracy without following it with theory. Now, you know, I can produce infinitely more evidence to support what I'm saying. That's why my books run at 500 pages largely, than anyone coming on the BBC News can produce to tell me that the story they're telling the nation is true, is actually has any basis in fact whatsoever. Mm. So get informed, because it's a very simple thing, really. These guys do not suppress information, and they do not suppress knowledge because it's a bit of fun. I know what we'll do today. We'll suppress some knowledge. It's done because the suppression of knowledge, the suppression of what's actually going on, and the suppression of questioning what's going on is fundamental to allowing it to go on. Mm. But what's happening now is we're in a point where, as I've been saying for years, the point's going to come where that which has remained hidden will have to hit the surface where it can be seen, because that has to happen if the global fascist society, which is what they're aiming for, the centralized global state dictatorship, is going to happen. And what we're seeing now is, in all areas of our lives, the power hurtling daily, never mind by the week, into fewer and fewer hands, quite demonstrably. I've been writing my books for years and years and years that the transnational corporations are basically controlled by the same people, all the major ones. Mm-hmm. that governments and different, apparently different political parties are actually ultimately controlled at the top of their pyramids by the same people.
Or related, or in many cases related to the same people.
Exactly. But what's happening now is what's been happening under the surface, where they've controlled companies by having front directors that don't seem to be connected to certain people, but actually just vote as they're told, and the control's been done that way. What we're seeing now as we break the surface and this thing becomes a reality, is we're seeing these mega corporations in business and industry and banking and the media fusing together. We're actually seeing it unfold in front of our eyes. And what I've been talking about for years, about the control of the American government, etc., is now actually appearing in some of the mainstream media. Nothing like enough, but some of it. And you can show very clearly, with the documentation that has come to light, that the invasion of Iraq and the invasions that they plan in other Middle Eastern countries, like Saudi Arabia and Libya and Lebanon and Iran and Syria, and the problem they say they have with North Korea, were all ready in a blueprint to go, and it was produced for the Bush administration before it illegally came to power.
Was it the Project for the New American Century?
Yeah, the Project for the New American Century. But as I show in Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center disaster, this blueprint, while it may have been updated in September 2000, actually was put together, and probably that's not the earliest it was put together, was actually put together by the people now running the Bush administration after they left the previous Bush administration when Bill Clinton came to power in the early 90s, 1992. This has long been planned. Now, what's happening is that two things are running side by side. There is the agenda, and the agenda is quite simply for a global fascist state. And that's not scaremongering, that's what they're planning. They want a centralized global dictatorship, which would consist of a world government which would dictate all the major decisions in the world, militarily, financially, and in all these key areas. And they would dictate to every country. They want a world army that would enforce, that's basically what we're seeing now, though it's not official, would enforce the will of the world government on countries that didn't want to accept those decisions. It wants a world central bank and a world currency and a microchip population connected to a global computer. And when I said that in the earlier years of the 90s in this country, people laughed in my face. Well, they're not laughing now if they open their minds and see what's going on. Thousands and thousands of people in America alone are now being microchipped as a result of 9/11. Now, what's interesting when you you start to see what's happening now in current events, you see that everything starts to fit into a pattern. First of all, you have this agenda unfolding for this centralization and global conquest, the takeover of the Middle East. It's all in these documents. But, of course, if they stand up openly and say, this is our agenda, then, of course, there's going to be a tremendous reaction against it. Even while they try to hide their agenda, there's a tremendous reaction against it around the world today. So to hide it, they create what I call a movie. And the movie is what we are seeing on the television news around the world and reading in the mainstream newspapers. The movie is the cover story to hide and justify the agenda. So, for instance, when the point comes in the agenda for the invasion of Iraq, you're not going to say, hey, we want to invade Iraq because, as our blueprint published in September 2000 says, we want, first of all, to use the excuse, it says, of Saddam Hussein to get a major foothold in the Middle East by invading and taking over Iraq. And also, we want, of course, to control Iraq because it's the second biggest oil producer, so that's great. That's why we're going to do it. And after we've done that, you see, we've got this foothold, this central base there. From there, we can then start either invading or forcing them to concede without military invasion all these countries that we also want to control. Now, if you said that, there'd be outrage.
Yeah, you create a viable pretext.
Yeah, and so we come to 9/11 in this, because in this document by the Project for the New American Century, and for people who haven't come across this, this was an organization created in the latter part of the 90s by the very people that are now running the Bush administration. We're talking Donald Rumsfeld, the defense secretary, Paul Wolfowitz, the deputy defense secretary, who's one of the real power centers in the Bush administration. We're talking Jeb Bush, the president's brother, and of course the governor for Florida when he was scammed in the Florida election into power. We're talking about major players throughout the Bush administration and the Pentagon who are behind this Bush administration and what's unfolding. And they produced this document called Rebuilding America's Defenses, Strategies, Forces, and Resources for a New Century, with this one published in September 2000. And the blueprint that they set out is now being introduced by the very same people who are running the Bush administration. And what does it say in this document? Let's look at this. This is so relevant. It says that this blueprint for global conquest will necessarily be a slow process unless America has another Pearl Harbor. 1 year after this document was produced, well under a year after this lot came into power, when Bush was inaugurated in January 2001, we had 9/11. What did George Bush call that? Our Pearl Harbor. And as a result, let's look at this. As a result, and only as a result of 9/11, has all that has followed been possible. As this document said a year before 9/11, if we had another Pearl Harbor, then this blueprint for conquest could move very quickly. Ah, hallelujah, just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. They have their own Pearl Harbor. And as I've shown in Alice in Wonderland in the World Trade Center disaster, 9/11 was not orchestrated by a guy from a cave in Afghanistan. It was orchestrated within the borders of the United States, and it was orchestrated by the very same people and network that has used it as an excuse for all the slaughter, conquest, and destruction of freedom and privacy that has followed that event. And, you know, it is a good question to ask when anything like 9/11 happens, or when a war in Iraq happens or anything. It's a simple question. Who benefits? Who benefits from this event? Who benefits from me believing the official story of this event? And every time, the answer will be anyone that wants to take away more basic privacy and freedom from the people, and anyone that wants to further centralize power on a global level.
David poses an interesting question there. I wonder, in listening to this, if you think that there is a push towards a centralized power, and do you feel as though your basic freedoms and privacy have been eroded even more, perhaps, since 9/11? These are the questions on many people's minds. And it would seem that there is a bit of an awakening going on. And perhaps that's why there has been an escalation in the development and the drastic implementation of these plans for globalized control. Now, if this sounds a bit like 1984 or some other sort of sci-fi drama, possibly. But if you look at the facts, you look at the Patriot Act, you look at Homeland Security, you look at everything that's going on in the news, then you definitely see a trend starting to appear. We are in the middle of our interview with David Icke, and I'd like to remind you, you're listening to Resonance FM 104.4 in London and worldwide on the internet at resonancefm.com. I'd invite you to go take a look at our website here for the show. It can tell you what sort of guests we've had on in the past and which ones are due to come. Simply go to resonancefm.com. That's resonancefm.com. Go to Saturday. Click on the listings button for Saturday. Go to 2:30 p.m. There you'll see the headroom and the description of the show, and there's a link to our website. If you have any questions or comments, you can just get in touch with us by email. Our email address is theheadroom@excite.com. And I thought we would go right back into this very in-depth interview with David Icke. And we're talking about the way in which this plan by the globalists, these multinational conglomerates, and the seats of power all seem to be pushing towards centralized control, taking away basic freedoms, liberties, and privacy. And it would also seem that in all of these troubled times, there is an unusual or perhaps unexpected byproduct to all this, that there seems to be an awareness being raised, not only on the part of this show, but also in other ways more subtle and ways perhaps more mainstream that are bringing people to this awareness. Wouldn't you agree, David?
Yeah, because like I say, what's happening now, there's this window of time where the hidden is hitting the surface as it becomes reality in our lives. And also, I think they're rushing this on so fast because they know there's awakening going on. And, you know, I've been doing this now for 13 years full time. And when I first started doing this, and for many years afterwards, when I was trying to warn about what is happening now, a man and a dog used to turn up, you know, when the dog could be bothered. And now, in more recent years, we're talking of 2,000 seats in the Brixton Academy. That's the nature of the change that's taking place. And this awakening is more and more becoming aware of the scam, at least on the basic level. Mm. And therefore, they are wanting to push this on as fast as possible, to put this global structure of control in place as quick as possible.
Yeah.
What has happened with the contracts is a classic. You see, what I've shown in my books and previous books, and I'm doing a very detailed chapter in the new one I'm writing now about all this, is you have the same, this is the thing to emphasize, you have the same network and the same people controlling the government and controlling its decisions, like go to war. The same people control the armaments companies that produce the weapons to drop on a country like Iraq and bomb it to smithereens, and then the same people control the companies that get the contracts to rebuild it. In 1991, Dick Cheney, at the time of the first Gulf War, or Gulf Slaughter as it was, you need two sides in a war, I feel, they call it a war. When you've got the latest technology against the military equivalent in the modern world of a pop gun, it's not much of a war, really. But he was defense secretary, orchestrating the war with Iraq. He was orchestrating the bombing and stuff of Iraq that destroyed oil infrastructure and stuff. Well, in 1995, he became chief executive officer of the biggest oil services company in the world called Halliburton, that has a major subsidiary called Brown & Root. It's Kellogg Brown & Root now, I understand. And they have won contracts to rebuild, before the present bombing, oil infrastructure, etc., in Iraq, that the Defense Department of Cheney actually destroyed. And so what you find is that because there is an agenda going on one level for this global centralized state, and there's a movie going alongside it to hide it and justify it, you find that the same people are involved in the agenda and the movie. I'll give you an example. In 1983, and there's a picture on my website, Donald Rumsfeld, the current defense secretary, went to Baghdad for the Reagan-Bush administration. And there's a picture of him shaking hands with Saddam Hussein. Now, State Department documents that have come to light more recently about that trip have shown that he went to arrange for the shipment from the Bush-Reagan administration for chemical and biological weapons, including bubonic plague, to Saddam Hussein to use against the Iranians in the Iraq-Iranian war. These were the same chemical weapons that were used to gas the Kurds. So they provide the weapons, the chemical weapons agenda, and then the movie level is, he gassed the Kurds with chemical weapons. He's an evil dictator. We must send the troops in and remove him. In the year 2000, Donald Rumsfeld was on the board of a company, a major European engineering company called ABB, when it sold nuclear technology to North Korea. 2 years later, Donald Rumsfeld is defense secretary, looks to North Korea and its possession of this nuclear technology, which his company provided, and says, they've got nuclear capability. We must stop them. They're in the axis of evil, as George said, or whoever wrote the speech for it, this idiot David Froom, who wrote that axis of evil speech. Another member of this project for the New American Century and the American Enterprise Institute, which interlocks with it, where all this policy is actually orchestrated from. And so you have dictators supported by this same network on an agenda level to put them into power, because the CIA have had to admit that it was they that were involved in the coup that put Saddam Hussein in the first place. Yeah. And then you use the fact that dictators are there on the movie level to say, hey, they've got a dictator, we must go and invade and remove him. So this is going on all the time.
On August 26, 2002, Dick Cheney gave a speech to opinion leaders, and the transcript is on the website for the Project for the New American Century. And there he does outline this grand strategy, and it's very global in nature. I'll read a couple excerpts from it, and when you hear it, the language that it's written in is a bit breathtaking. For instance, here's one excerpt. The danger to America requires actions on many fronts at once. At the same time, we realize that wars are never won on the defensive. We must take the battle to the enemy. We will take every step necessary to make sure that our country is secure, and we will prevail. Very strong rhetoric there. It goes on to say that against such enemies, talking about terrorists, America and the civilized world, I'm not sure what that means, have only one option. Wherever terrorists operate, we must find them where they dwell, stop them in their planning, and one by one bring them to justice. Well, if that's not a global strategy, I don't know what is. It goes on to say that President Bush has often spoke of how America can keep the peace by redefining war on our terms. It means that any enemy conspiring to harm America or our friends must face a swift, certain, and devastating response. The entire world must know that we will take whatever action is necessary to defend our freedom and our security. That is really, really strong stuff there from Dick Cheney, August 26, 2002. Now, when people hear this, I think the context of it is important. He was talking to a lot of veterans and opinion makers. But clearly, there seems to be this agenda that's underlying all this rhetoric. It's global. It says that we'll do what we like. We're going to have our own way of doing our war. And we're going to have this global mindset. So wherever you are, we're going to come and get you. It's really something right out of a science fiction book. You know, if you read this 5 or 10 years ago, you probably wouldn't believe it. But it seems now that America can do whatever they like, whenever they like.
Exactly. I mean, what you mentioned there in this document by the New American Century organization, the people that are running the Bush administration now, it talks about an American grand strategy. But, of course, America is controlled by the Illuminati. So whenever they talk about America, they're actually talking about the Illuminati, which is using America to fire the bullets that are actually loaded elsewhere. This American grand strategy, the document says, must be advanced as far into the future as possible, because Iraq and Afghanistan are not the end, they're only the start. And it calls for the U.S. to, quote, fight and decisively win multiple simultaneous major theater wars as a core mission. It calls American armed forces the cavalry on the new American frontier, which now extends to the Middle East and counting. And interestingly also, it actually refers, September 2000, to the use of key allies such as the UK as, quote, the most effective and efficient means of exercising American global leadership. That's exactly what they've done through Tony Blair, who is a dictator in his own right in this country. I mean, the idea we live in a democracy in this country is actually ludicrous. I mean, it's not just Claire Short that's come out and said it's a dictatorship where the policy is made on high and even the cabinet are not consulted. They're told what's going to happen. But Mo Mollem, when she came out of the cabinet, said precisely the same, and it's got worse since then. And what it also talks about, because on my website, in a book called The Biggest Secret in 1998, I wrote this. The plan is to engineer events real and staged that will create enormous fear in the countdown years to 2012, which is a kind of a target for when they want much of this in place. This includes a plan, I wrote, to start a third world war either by stimulating the Muslim world into a holy war against the West or by using the Chinese to cause global conflict, maybe both. And here we find, in this same document that's clearly being followed since, it spotlights China for a regime change. China for regime change, saying, quote, it is time to increase the presence of American forces in Southeast Asia. This, it says, may lead to American and allied power, providing the spur to the process of democratization in China. Can you imagine what that means?
Shocking.
And perhaps the most sinister of all, just one other thing from this document, which becomes ever more relevant the more obvious it is it's being followed. It talks about North Korea, Libya, Syria, and Iran as dangerous regimes and says their existence justifies the creation of a, quote, worldwide command and control system. That's the World Army I talked about earlier. But look about this. They talk about biological and chemical weapons. What this document calls for is for the development of biological weapons that can, wait for this, target specific genotypes. Mm-hmm. I mean, in other words, take out whatever target race they wish to eliminate. When I talk on my website and I talk in my talks about the fact that, hey, let's not beat about the bush here. We are, well, literally beat about the bush. We are facing the rapid emergence of the Fourth Reich, a global version of Nazi Germany. And in truth, if you read some of my other books, like And the Truth Shall Set You Free, the Third Reich never ended. It just swapped its jackboots and military uniforms for business suits and briefcases. It just carried on its way and carried on its agenda of global centralization in a different way and using the same methods, but appearing to be part of democratic life.
Well, democratic life is a bit of a subjective term. Can't help but think of ancient Greece. They had a true democracy where everybody voted on everything. And nowadays, we have trouble just voting in our own president here in the United States. And even the majority of the votes doesn't seem to matter as far as that particular election went. And maybe people are now starting to question what they thought was reality. Maybe they're starting to see a different experience emerge. Maybe they are becoming aware of what's truly going on. You're certainly leading the charge on that growing realization. But I wonder in what ways it will start to take shape. You know, people are taking to the streets against these globalists, these meetings. more and more people are tuning in to alternative media. I just wonder what will happen. Will there be a struggle? Will there be a coup? Or will it just be like all the other things that have come and gone since the 50s and the 60s, where there is public outcry, something happens, and then it simply gets washed away or gets swept under the rug? Well, let's hope that just by putting the word out there that people can start making up their own minds about this sort of thing, and perhaps they can start questioning the nature of this reality that we're all buying into, that we all believe. You know, let's step back for a minute, take a look around. You know, maybe there is a lot more going on than meets the eye.
The thing is, one of the greatest defense mechanisms this has is that the reality that the people are conditioned to believe is actually what they're experiencing is so different from what is actually going on. To use the same analogy, the agenda that's actually unfolding is so incredibly different to the movie we're given of what's actually going on in the world and why, that chasm of difference is just too big for many people at this time to cross, because they think, listen, something like that can't be going on. It's just too fantastic. And what was it that Joseph Goebbels used to say, the propaganda chief of the Nazis? The bigger the lie, the more we'll believe it. And keep telling them the same thing often enough, and eventually it will become believed and accepted truth. And what we have here is a unfolding slaughter and an unfolding conquest that is justified by an official story of 9/11 that a three-year-old with two brain cells working in unison could actually take apart. There's not one strand of it that fits to another. But because the global population has largely accepted the lies of 9/11, that has been the basis on which they are accepting what has followed since. Oh well, we I know taking our privacy away and stuff like that, but we've got to stop these terrorists from the Middle East and all this stuff. They might bombers and all that stuff. You notice that with the anthrax scare immediately after 9/11, as soon as it was shown that the strain of anthrax is the one and used and only used by the U.S. military, the anthrax scare suddenly disappeared. Wow. That was miraculous.
It was miraculous.
Well, I think that the motivation was a massive and grotesque and horrific event played out on live television that would so horrify and focus the minds of people, and crucially, because this is the key to controlling the people, create enormous amounts of fear.
Well, fear is really the key to all this. If we can get rid of our fear, we become free. It is a way in which to enslave people. It has been used for political motivation. The Patriot Act, this Homeland Security, was just rushed through a panic Congress. Not many of them really read it. And so after 9/11, you had this tangible feeling in the air, and from which, if one wanted to, you could create all sorts of policy changes, and you could further an agenda, and that agenda closely mirrors the one from the website for the project for the New American Century.
Yeah, I've got a quote on my website from Adolf Hitler, in which he is actually saying in Nazi Germany exactly the same, that, you know, that there is a problem with terrorism in this country and we must protect the people and protect the security of the homeland. He actually uses that phrase, security of the homeland. What we're talking about here is the mass mind and emotional is a key to this, emotional manipulation technique that I've dubbed in my books Problem Reaction Solution, where you, first of all, you want to bring changes in society that you know people will not accept if you do them openly, and especially if you explain explain why you want to do them, where you really want to do them, so you don't do it openly. You play the scam of problem, reaction, solution. First of all, you create a problem. It could be a terrorist bomb, it could be a war, it could be, hey, weapons of mass destruction. And you then make sure, in the case of things like 9/11 and the Kennedy assassination, that you name someone as the villain, as the culprit, the person responsible or people responsible for the problem, as soon as possible after you have covertly created the problem, because you don't want people open-mindedly looking around after something like 9/11 and saying, well, what could have and who could have been behind this? You don't want that. You want to focus them on that's the villain. So they named Lee Harvey Oswald immediately after the Kennedy assassination, of course, and unless he had a gun which had bullets that actually could do U-turns in mid-flight, could never have possibly killed Kennedy. And the idea that this was orchestrated from a cave in Afghanistan is absolutely ludicrous, but they wanted to invade Afghanistan, so that was part of the cover story. And so when you have, first of all, created the problem and named the villain, you then communicate to the people the version of the problem you want them to believe. In other words, you communicate the movie cover story to hide what has really gone on and who's really been behind it. Now, if we had a media, a mainstream media, that was actually worth the name journalism, and there are honorable exceptions, but staggeringly and depressingly few, then problem, reaction, solution would fall down at this point, because the media would take the official version of something like 9/11, and it would then investigate it. It would question it. It would ask questions about it, and it would then communicate to the people its findings. And a third-grade journalist could take the 9/11 story apart. But because we don't have that, because the mainstream media is just a public relations department for the official version of events, we get the official version passed on to the people in the mainstream virtually unquestioned and undiluted. So all the people get en masse is the story that the authorities are putting out, the same authorities at the highest level who are actually behind the problem. And then, once you have got the people in fear and outrage as a result of accepting the cover story, they say, something must be done, this can't go on, what are you going to do about it? Or they accept you saying, we'll do something about it. And then you come to the third point of problem, reaction, solution, which is putting forward the solutions, the changes in society, the disruptions of freedom and privacy, the greater surveillance, and the war on terrorism, which is actually a war on sanity, to offer the solutions to the problems you've covertly created. And this is being played out all the time. That's what 9/11 was. That's what the weapons of mass destruction were. And one of the interesting things for me is what on earth they're going to come up with as an excuse for their further conquest, because they will. When you look at the northern border of North Korea, what's the country? China, which is what they're ultimately looking to go into conflict with. You know, when you look at this thing about fighting simultaneous wars, major wars and simultaneous major threats of war, you're going to need troops for that. You're going to need fodder for that. And so you have a situation where, as this goes on, we're going to have moves towards conscription, where young people are sent out to die and kill just to advance an agenda that is designed to imprison them.
Well, there you have it, the ultimate mind game. And this game is furthered by people giving their tacit approval to it by not acting and by buying into it. Well, perhaps this is the first step towards a larger world. More David Icke coming up after the break. If you want to get in contact with the show about something you've heard or something you'd like to hear, perhaps, just send us an email. Our email address is theheadroom@excite.com. And after the break, we'll get into the question of North Korea and the next possible wave of this global agenda. Stay tuned. More David Icke coming up.